Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really crack open some fascinating real-world business stories. Today, we're looking at a company called Bernhard Tarr's Ventures. You might know them as BTV.
And we've got our hands on their future vision document.
Yeah.
It's pretty comprehensive, lays out their whole game plan for growth, what they've done recently, the challenges they're up against right now, and crucially, how they're planning to get investment.
Absolutely. So our mission today really is to unpack that journey for you. We want to get a handle on the very real hurdles they're facing and figure out how they plan to grow, especially in a market that's, well, it's been trending down for over 20 years.
Down for 20 years. Wow.
Yeah, it's about dissecting a real strategy, giving you that front row seat to what it actually takes.
And it starts with quite the origin story. Bernhard Tarr's Ventures, it kicked off with this entrepreneurial idea way back over Labor Day weekend in 2011.
Just the idea, though. It's the spark, yeah. They didn't formally incorporate until February 2022, and then boom, launched their first products pretty quickly in early 2023. That includes their main one, Day to Daylight Beer.
Oh, yes, the American
Yeah.
lager. But they make a point about the brewing standards, right? Something about German purity.
Exactly. Super premium German purity standards. That's the term they use. And their early momentum, it's actually pretty impressive when you look at the numbers.
Okay, like what?
Well, since launch, they've managed sales through, it says here, hundreds of retailer accounts, hit over 100 buying accounts by December 2023.
Okay, that's solid traction.
Yeah, and they've pushed out over 100,000 product samples. That's across three brands of Day to Day Light we mentioned, also Broken, Step Hard, Lemonade, popular as a
The
thing.
RTD market, yeah.
Right, and Elevate Quantum D9. So they're dipping into that, functional beverage space too with D9.
Interesting diversification early on and revenue.
Nearly $100,000 in revenue since launch. And they really emphasize they've done this with strong fiscal discipline.
Right. Okay, so here's where it gets, well, fascinating. You got these clear early wins, this disciplined approach they talk about. But their current numbers for the first half of 2025 show a net loss.
A loss, how much?
Negative $104,637. So the big question is, how does that happen? How do you square those early wins and discipline with a, six-figure loss? What's going on there?
That is the question, isn't it? It seems counterintuitive. What's your take? How do those two things, the revenue and the loss, fit together for a startup like this?
Well, often, especially for a company aiming for high growth, and particularly in an industry like beverages, which needs a lot of capital up front, this kind of loss isn't necessarily like a disaster signal.
Okay.
It often points to the investment phase. They're front-loading massive costs. I mean, think about it. Developing the product, setting up production, all the marketing to just get your name out there.
Right, getting those first retailers on board.
Exactly. All that spending happens before the sales really ramp up enough to cover everything. So yeah, revenue's coming in. Nearly $100 is not nothing, but the initial cost to just get to market to start moving, it's substantial.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. So they're basically in that intense growth phase, burning cash to gain ground. And I guess their future vision document probably frames it that way.
It does. It talks about it as the cost of entry, the cost of tackling these market headwinds they mention.
Let's dig into those headwinds then, because that seems key. The document mentions a distribution bottleneck and this wider, slow retail industry. What does that bottleneck actually mean for a brand like BTV trying to get started?
Yeah, absolutely. So the distribution bottleneck in beverages, it's mostly about getting access, access to shelf space, and just as importantly, access to the distributor's attention.
Right.
For a new brand like BTV, it's incredibly tough. Distributors, they already have relationships, long-standing ones with the big established players, their warehouses, their sales teams. They're already busy pushing those known quantities.
So new guys get squeezed out.
Pretty much. Or you run into what's sometimes called brand hoarding.
Brand hoarding. Haven't heard that one. What is that?
Well, it's like a distributor might agree to carry your brand. They take the rights for a region, but then they don't really push it. They prioritize their bigger, maybe more profitable existing lines.
Ah, so they have you, but they're not selling you.
Exactly. Or maybe they just don't have the bandwidth or, frankly, the incentive to really market a new product hard. So it effectively bottlenecks you. It doesn't matter how good your beer or lemonade is if it can't get to the stores and the drinkers. It's a real systemic problem.
Wow. So you're totally reliant on this gatekeeper who might just sit on your brand. And then you mentioned the slow retail industry on top of that. How does that make things even harder?
Yeah, that's like the second punch. The retail sector itself, especially physical stores, brick and mortar, it's been consolidating. Growth has been sluggish for, like we said, over 20 years.
So fewer opportunities overall.
fewer opportunities, less new shelf space opening up. And retailers, they're playing it safer. They're cautious about taking a gamble on an unproven brand. They want to see guaranteed sales, quick turnover.
Right, they need stuff that moves.
Exactly. So BTV isn't just fighting for the distributor's time, they're also fighting for scarce shelf space in a market that's pretty risk-averse right now.
Okay, that really paints a picture of the uphill battle here. But okay, despite all this, BTV clearly has a plan. Their document lays out this 1 to 3 year growth strategy. What's the core idea? How do they plan to beat these headwinds?
Well, the core of it seems to be phased expansion and, importantly, direct engagement. They're not just sitting back hoping a distributor picks them up and runs with it.
They're trying to force the issue.
Kind of, yeah. They're aiming to create demand from the other side, from consumers and, crucially, from the retailers themselves. Their plan involves targeting major national retail chains, but doing it in stages.
National chains. Okay, that's ambitious. Who are they targeting? The document mentions names.
Oh, yeah. Big ones. We're talking Circle K, Publix, Total Wine, ABC Fine Wine and Spirits, Kroger, Walmart.
Wow. Okay. Those are the big leagues. How do they actually plan to get in there? And what kind of difference do they think that will make?
Well, they're projecting, conservatively they say, multi-million dollar revenue boosts as each of these big chains potentially comes online. The big picture goal is a full national rollout by maybe 2027, 2028, 2029.
Multi-millions per chain.
But it's not just the sales volume, right? It's the visibility. It's the validation. If you land your product in Kroger or Walmart, that changes everything.
How so?
It shifts the whole perception of your brand. You go from being maybe a local or regional hopeful to a serious national player. And that makes distributors sit up and take notice. It can actually flip the dynamic we were talking about. Suddenly, they want to carry you because the retailers are demanding it.
Ah, okay. Create the pull. Don't just rely on the push. That's smart. But doing that, targeting those huge chains, that takes resources. Their future vision must talk about needing investment, right? They mentioned that $500,000 target.
Exactly. They need fuel for this expansion. And the document details how they plan to use that $500,000 strategically.
So where does the money go?
Their allocation plan seems pretty focused and, again, disciplined, tying directly back to driving sales. They're earmarking half of it 50%, so $250,000 for personnel, specifically expanding their sales team.
Okay, boots on the ground to get into those retailers.
Precisely. So they can directly pitch and manage those key accounts, not just wait for distributors. Then another 20%, that's $100,000, is slated for digital marketing.
Building that consumer demand we talked about.
You got it. Build brand awareness, drive people to ask for it. And the last big chunk, another 20% or $100,000, is for inventory.
Makes sense. Yeah. You get into Kroger, you need the product ready to ship.
You absolutely do. Can't create demand you can't fill. So overall, it looks like a very proactive investment strategy, putting money directly into the sales engine and the marketing needed to overcome those distribution and retail hurdles.
Right. Not just hoping things improve, but actively spending to make them improve. Okay, so let's sort of recap this whole journey we've traced with Bernhard Taras Ventures. We started with a, you know, ambitious beginning, some really solid early wins with their products.
Yeah, the day-to-day light, the lemonade, the D9.
Yeah.
Getting those initial accounts.
Exactly. But then bumping up against the hard reality of the market, those major headwinds, that distribution bottleneck you described so well, and the whole slow retail industry thing, those 20 plus years of downtrends.
And if you kind of zoom out, look at the bigger picture here. Mm. What BTV's story really highlights is how even if you have, you know, world-class product development, really smart marketing, a solid team with industry experience, you still need that strategic capital.
And patience, probably.
And patience, absolutely.
Yeah.
You need both to get past these built-in hurdles, like distributors maybe hoarding brands, and to actually stimulate demand when the market's tough. But you see BTV's commitment, right, to quality, innovation, and that disciplined growth, even with the current net loss showing.
Yeah, that loss feels more like investment now, not failure.
Exactly. It's an investment aimed at future profit.
And their plan to get there is definitely ambitious. That 1 to 3 year game plan, going after Circle K, Publix, Total Wine, ABC, Kroger, Walmart in phases, that's a huge undertaking.
It is. And those projections, even conservative ones, showing multi-million dollar opportunities with each chain, aiming for that national rollout by 2027, 2029. It's a bold vision.
It really is.
And their investment strategy backs it up. That plan for the $500,000 focusing half on personnel and sales, 20% on digital marketing, 20% on inventory. It shows that fiscal discipline they talked about, but aimed squarely at growth. It's about spending smart to build sales and brand recognition right where they need it most.
So, okay, bringing it back to you, the listener, what does all this mean? What can you take away from this deep dive into BTV? I think it really gives you a unique look, doesn't it? Into the gritty reality of trying to scale a business today.
Yeah, it's not always glamorous.
Not at all. It's that mix, isn't it? Early wins get you excited, then bam, unexpected challenges. And it shows the kind of strategic thinking you need, not just to have a good product, but to actually get funding and use it wisely. It really hammers home that even with a great team and product, the market itself, those dynamics play a huge part in how things unfold. Sometimes you just have to carve your own path.
Which leads to a final thought, maybe something for you to chew on. We've talked a lot about BTV's challenges, especially with distribution, that brand hoarding, and needing retailers to basically force the distributor's hand. So the question is, what does it really take? What does it really take for a quality product, even with a good team and vision like BTV seems to have, to truly break through those kinds of systemic hurdles in a crowded market? Are there other unique strategies, maybe beyond what we've discussed, that they could use to shift that power dynamic, maybe more direct-to-consumer plays or different kinds of partnerships? Something to think about.